Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
So Cavs a podcast, Nate Smith, Tom Pestak. We're waiting on Evil Genius to get online here. He's having some audio difficulties. Are you sure it's not on mute, EG?
Is it plugged in?
Did you turn it back off and back on again? Did you try to reboot it?
Did you adjust for daylight savings?
This is what you get for buying a Mac, EG. I see this.
Pivot.
Nothing seems wrong. I'm not on mute. I did everything.
Oh, yeah, see?
Do you have a child in the house that can troubleshoot your PC?
That's the problem with people these days. No one wants to take responsibility for their problems. I did everything.
So the best part about this is EG can hear us, but we can't hear him. So we can just.
Can't defend himself.
No,
he's just a punching bag.
EG said, "This is my nightmare." Oh man. So yeah, Tom was just telling us about how Rocket League basketball is not very good.
No, it's crazy. It's like I hate soccer. And I hate NASCAR and all forms of racing, but I love Rocket League. But then Rocket League released an NBA-themed, like, basketball kind of like a mode, and I absolutely hate it. It's the weirdest thing, man. I don't know. It makes no sense. This is why you don't judge things on paper. You don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
You don't judge Jeff Green by, like, 27 years of Rap'em data, because you just never know. You just never know, Nate.
Well, it's the funny thing about Jeff Green is I just keep seeing this thing that says EG is typing. You know what we need to do? We need to get the old Stephen Hawking voice out for all. And Jeff Green is a machine.
I'm gonna like that for the rest of this podcast, please.
No, that's only I'll only do that when EG types. So
okay.
Man, I wish I had that in real life.
I'm not gonna make it. You're messing up my air dribbles.
Your air dribbles?
Yeah.
What are air dribbles?
So in Rocket League, you have a rocket on your car. So if you have enough boost, which is like your fuel, you can fly through the air. So an air dribble is essentially you're in the air and the ball is in the air, but you're keeping your nose real close to it so as to kind of maneuver it in midair.
Oh, okay. It's kind of like, you know, LeBron James every game.
Dude, LeBron, I could just talk for like 4 hours right now about and just gush about LeBron. I mean, I really could.
Well, you're gushing about LeBron. I'm gushing about Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
And we both are pleasantly surprised by Jeff Green, who...
Yeah, totally.
I will say that the greatest thing about Jeff Green is they are only letting him be a power forward. And they're like, dribble down and take ISO J's. Just go play power forward, and that's all you need to do.
But have you noticed that when he doesn't try to do too much on the wing, he's actually a pretty good passer?
Yeah,
like when he just gets the ball in a good spot on the move, he can create, and you know, he can finish. He's not a great finisher, but his dude is so big. That's the thing. I think maybe because Jeff Green's been this sort of like underwhelming non-efficient wing player for so long. I just had it in my mind that he was like 6'6", 200 or something. The dude is sometimes the biggest guy on the court. I mean, he's
Wade
like...
Wade Two Green is my new favorite thing.
What was the first word you said?
Wade.
Oh, Wade Two Green. Yes, I know. They're building this chemistry up together. And I'm just watching, you know, the NBA is going smaller and smaller. And maybe this was just Jeff Green's time, you know? You know how some people are, like, more attractive in different eras? Maybe Jeff Green is just a more attractive basketball player in 2017 on the Cavs than he's ever been. Because he's, you know, he's fast and athletic for a power forward. But being 6'9", that's not even a deficiency at this stage as a, at the power forward position.
Right.
And, like, half the time, he's going up to finish on guys that he outweighs and that he has a longer wingspan of.
Oh,
I don't
know. That one play tonight where they move the ball all over and then the last play was JR under the basket and he kind of does like a no-loop scoop pass to Jeff Green. And he
does the tomahawk or he does the pump fake dunk.
But he had to do it because
the closeout was coming.
Simmons was there. Yeah.
So sweet.
It was very sweet. So, yeah, coming
away, you know, JR putting the ball on the floor and moving is a real thing again. I noticed it like 2 weeks ago that, holy cow, JR just pump faked and put the ball on the deck. And I think last game, JR had a nice play where they closed out real hard and he just went to the rack. And tonight, yeah, that play was really caught my eye too. So having him be a little bit more dynamic than he's been, you know, really the last two seasons. Because if you think of the last two seasons, he hasn't been dynamic at all. But 2 years, he was just such a... He could hit from 8 feet behind the line that you didn't really care. That shot abandoned him. He was just so static. But, you know, it's like a dynamic version of JR. All right, I need to hear the voice.
I'm sorry, I'm... Can you try me back again? Okay. We've decided that we can't get EG on the audio, so Zira's last two texts are, go ahead and record. I'll just listen and chime in with my Stephen Hawking voice. It will be worth it for the Pastak laugh track.
Say the one about not being sophisticated.
Oh, yeah, so we're trying to tech support him, and Tom's like, yeah, I'm going to do a TeamViewer session, and I'm trying to talk him through like the audio settings in Skype, and he goes, damn it, I can still hear you guys. I am not that sophisticated. So I hope EG does not mind. We are trying to laugh with him and not at him. So
yeah, now I just have this vision of like Stephen Hawking courtside at a Cavs game and like being interviewed by Austin Carr and Fred McLeod like in the middle of the third quarter.
How I don't even want to know how that interview would go.
I don't know. I don't know how it would go either. I just that is now
all
my
I can
head.
Think of is AC asking him particle physics questions. You got to AC. Not know where you're at in the universe.
What happens when you ratchet up the pressure?
And will burst the pipe.
Steven, where should that weak stuff go?
Get that weak stuff out of here. I still hate Shumpert. I think we're killing Tom.
Did he say that or did you add that in?
No, EG actually said that, so.
Oh my gosh. All right.
So yeah. let's maybe talk a little bit about the actual game.
Dude, let's talk about it. And let's talk about who saw that coming, right? The oldest team in the league playing against
the up and comers.
Yeah, on the road. Philly hasn't been, you know, a pushover this year. Not that they're, you know, world beaters, but going up against another team with a bruising big man, right? We talked about how Drummond was going to just ravage our front line. And, I mean, tonight, Joel Embiid did sort of, but that was it. I mean, the rest, I mean, he can score 30 and have 16 boards every night. If you're going to win by double, you know, 20 points on the road, it doesn't really matter.
Don't forget to mention Vintage Wade. Also, Joel Embiid got more ghost calls than James Harden.
Very true, Stephen. Very true. Yeah, it was, there were a lot of very suspect calls in this game.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Love got two on him. Two of the worst calls I've ever seen. The one that was all ball. And
sorry, the worst one I saw was the one where the referee knew he messed it up because Ty Lue slammed his fist on the table.
And he didn't get a tech. Yeah.
The guy was ridiculous. Wade jumped past. Who was that took that shot? I don't even remember.
Oh, what's his name? Jared Bayless. And Jared Bayless, like, stuck Jared out the chicken Bayless. Wing.
Yeah, he stuck out his elbow and he stuck out his knee. That's the kind of play that sometimes they call flagrants for, being an unnatural act. Now, they didn't, no one got hurt, but that was ridiculous. I mean, it's one thing when Kevin Love does the thing where he leans into players.
Yeah.
It's another, that was just absurd. And he got the call, got three free throws. Yeah, I thought the officiating was kind of suspect tonight, but
this officiating crew made Tony Brothers look competent. Ha ha ha. Banana in the tailpipe.
Oh, now he's just going to spam. Ha ha ha. Oh my god, I'm not gonna be able to do it. I'm gonna mute myself. It's just gonna be too much.
So going back to the game a little bit, I gotta try and keep us on track a little bit. But yeah,
go ahead.
We should do all podcasts like this.
I'm sure you can get a filter. Stephen Hawking text-to-speech filter.
So LeBron scores 30, grabs 18 rebounds and 6 assists, and is only +1 on the game. Yeah. Meanwhile, the 4 core members of the bench group, Kyle, Dwayne Wade, Channing Frye, and Jeff Green, +25, +21, +23, and +25. And they scored 9, 15, 12, and 14. And what was the bench differential in scoring I'm laughing too hard to math.
Well, fortunately we got someone on our team right now that's pretty good at math.
Channing Frye owns the process.
Oh man.
So, yeah, Channing Frye was on fire tonight, and I'm just kind of baffled at how the beginning of the season, you know.
Yeah, Channing Frye wasn't not gonna even play in the that rotation. Much. Yeah.
Yeah, and,
why would you even say that, even if that's what you were thinking? That's
well, just I think with veterans, you want to set their expectations, and, you know, one of the knocks on David Blatt was that he didn't kind of treat veterans with the respect of community, whether
right.
they were going to play or not. You know, they had that Christmas Day game when Richard Jefferson didn't even play and was expecting to play a lot of minutes. My bench scored 57 points.
I like how you just rolled into the bench. You're like,
it wasn't me. I'm just channeling now. Yeah. But yeah, the bench for the Cavs scored 57 points and was awesome tonight. And they've been awesome throughout the win streak. Kyle Korver, to me, the way he moves without the ball, they run their entire offense around the way Kyle Korver moves without the ball when the bench unit is in. I mean, and talk about a guy who just doesn't shoot threes. He goes inside. I mean, people overplay him so much that he can get a backdoor cut anytime he wants. And he's also a really good passer, doesn't turn the ball over.
No, he knows exactly where he should be. And not, yeah, like you said, not just for his own sort of benefit, but also to create spacing for other guys. And he's a great passer. He's another, you know, this is what is crazy about the Cavs. And I don't know how, you know, I imagine swapping Jose Calderon for Isaiah Thomas isn't going to be that much of like a defensive downgrade, but the Cavs are, they just feel like a much longer team this year.
Yeah.
You know, between Wade, Jeff Green, I don't know. They just, you know, when they actually try on defense, which they have been for about 2 weeks now, you know, they can put their arms up. They can contest. They can get their hands in passing lanes. And, you know, the NBA is just getting smaller and smaller. And now on any given night, despite the fact that they're mostly wing players, they feel kind of big, you know, and I know that, you know, their rebounding hasn't been, you know, that great, but part of that's because Tristan Thompson's out. And so they're playing, you know, undersized non-rebounders at the five spot quite often. But I mean, it's not hurting them. I mean, eight straight.
Well, and, I wouldn't say that Kevin Love is a non-rebounder, but he's definitely
Love. I mean, when you're playing like LeBron or Jeff Green at the five, like they were doing for
or
a while,
or even Channing Frye,
or Channing Frye. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I was getting at.
Kenny Powers was in full effect. La Flama Blanca wore the Sixers like an American flag.
Just the thought of Stephen Hawking actually saying La Flama Blanca.
There you go.
La Flama Blanca.
Yeah, which is the greatest nickname ever. As E.G., once said, he's becoming my favorite Cavalier. I think he said that on the last podcast, and he really, I mean, the fact that he led the team in plus minus tonight is no coincidence. He's always in the right spot on defense, gets a lot of loose balls because he's always in the right spot. Had that great steal tonight where he didn't have the speed to outrun anyone, and then he kind of like took these two really long hop steps and then threw it behind him to Channing Frye.
Yeah, flashbacks of one of my favorite plays of all time. Do you remember when Big Z had the breakaway?
No,
and he turned around and just like waited for LeBron. And it was just so ridiculous how long he waited. And he took these gigantic 7'3" giraffe steps and waited for the defense to catch up. Just turned around and like flicked it over his head to LeBron, who basically jumped over like the four defenders that had caught up to Z.
That was the greenest slow motion fast break in recent memory.
Indeed, Steven, indeed. Man. It's like Stump the Schwab over here.
Stump the Schwab, yeah. So the other thing that that Stephen Evil Genius Hawking brought up was the rebounding. He said the rebounding advantage was 53-45, but the offensive rebounding was the real problem, 22-10.
Yeah, they got a lot of offensive boards, but...
Yeah, and one of the things, I think Kevin Love did not get a lot of rebounds because he was basically, his job was go keep Joel Embiid off the boards. So he was boxing him out with a face guard a couple times. A lot of times they were getting up and just punching the ball to the guards. Just basically don't give up any easy rebounds. So they were slapping the ball around a lot.
Yeah.
And I thought at least through the first half, they team rebounded well, and then they lost guys in the second half a lot on the boards, but they were up by so much at that point that it was really kind of a non-issue for the most part. And yes, the Cavs defense played very well, but the Sixers took a lot of really dumb shots. And they took a lot of bad shots and didn't really run an offense for large stretches of the game. I don't know if you'd agree with that or not, but.
Yeah, I do. And I keep wanting to say it in a Stephen Hawking voice, but I'm going to mess it up. So I'm not. But yeah, I mean,
Stan Hinkie for 28 from three. Covington was 0-9 all by himself.
Oh my gosh.
Dario Saric and his Hitler hairdo got 6 offensive boards by himself. That's literally all that guy does.
Yep. Was he the guy that they all gave a standing ovation to when he checked in? Is he like a fan favorite there?
No, I think that was T.J. McConnell, the guy who was kind of chasing Wade up and down the court.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hustle points.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Deli. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia, if you will. Poor man's Delavadova.
There you go. That's what I should have said from the beginning.
Yeah, there you go. But, and I really liked his hustle. He was one of the better Sixers that game. But I just really felt like the Sixers kind of got in a bad, like they felt like they had to keep up with the Cavs in the three-pointers. And they also just, I think they psyched themselves up a little too much for this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they did seem a little jitterish, like they had a little bit, a little out of control. Yeah.
Yeah, and Joel Embiid did not play a smart game. I mean, he threw up a lot of really bad shots. He should have been trying to get to the line a lot more than he did. The fact that he took 9 free throws and half of them were gifts. He should have been forcing the issue inside a lot more than he did. But they kind of are content to give him the ball out on the elbow and just kind of let him work. And he didn't quite seem to know what he wanted to do. You know what I mean? Like he just kind of didn't have a consistent game plan. JJ Redick was really bad, 4 for 16 on the night, a couple just really bad turnovers. Ben Simmons had 4 turnovers and only 2 assists. You know, Robert Covington, we all talked about 0 for 9.
Yeah, wow. 0 for 9 is a... I wouldn't even go 0 for 9 in an NBA game. You know that. You shot with me on the court.
Timothy Luwawa Camaro, say that 3 times quickly. Had a nice game off the bench.
Luwawa.
Luwawa. So, yeah. Yeah, 12 points and a plus minus of negative 6, which wasn't the best, but wasn't the worst. For the Cavs, I mean, J.R. Smith had another nice game, 4-6, 3-5 from downtown after a really nice game on Saturday when he had 17. I don't know if you got to watch any this weekend.
I did. I did get to watch a lot of the second half of Saturday against the Hornets.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, that game was like, did either team ever have a lead of like more than 6? That game was so tight the whole time. That was a very just, I don't know. It didn't feel like a playoff game, like the atmosphere, but just how evenly it was matched. And, you know, generally, I feel like the Cavs go on a lot of runs and they let teams go on some runs, especially in first quarters.
Yeah,
and that game was just tight the whole time.
Like, yeah, and then LeBron was just ridiculous in the last.
Yeah,
you know, I think out of the last so many possessions, the last 15 points, all but one were LeBron, except for one Kevin Love free throw.
So, yeah, LeBron. Like I said, I could just talk for like 3 hours to you and Stephen Hawking about LeBron this year because I'm just so impressed.
Ben Simmons got abused by LeBron and Wade alternately for most of tonight's game.
Dude, they abused their whole team, both those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody had a great tweet online about how no matter how young and athletic you are, there's still some guy at the Y in his late 30s with a knowledge of geometry that's ready to steal your soul.
Yeah. Yeah, tell us about geometry, Steven.
The missed shot, the rebound, and corner 3 before the half by LeBron was the play of the game.
Yeah, it was. That was sick.
It was.
And LeBron is just such a... I mean, man, usually his shot is just hit or miss, but I feel like he's just a good shooter now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just in every facet.
Yeah.
I mean... I don't know. He doesn't seem to be streaky anymore. He's just pretty good.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
I mean, he's going to shoot above 35% from 3. So you have to respect that. And he's taking more threes than ever.
And he can walk in any three he wants because,
exactly,
you know, team's got to give him like 5-6 feet.
Right.
Otherwise, he's just going to blow right by you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And plus, even the free throws, like, he's not afraid to go to the line. I mean, he's shooting a career high in free throw percentage, too, at like 75. Let me go look and see what he's shooting. He is shooting 76%, which is his...
That's pretty good.
It's his career high.
Is it really? Wow, he never shot 80%? Not even like any of those years in Miami?
No. If two parallel lines are cut by a transversal, then each pair of corresponding angles is congruent. So it's a little geometry lesson from Steven. So, but yeah, career high in free throw percentage, and he is shooting 42.3% on free throws at 2.1 makes a game. And
you mean threes?
On threes, yeah. And career high field goal percentage right now of 57.8. So,
and a career low free throw attempt rate, which is meeting the eye test to me, which is basically just, he's not going a billion miles an hour anymore to the hoop all the time when he needs a bucket. He's just so much more in control. he's relying so much more on footwork, his ambidexterity, all these moves he has, the Euro step that he's perfected, the spin moves. He's got the turnaround fadeaway now, the a la Jordan that he whips out 2 or 3 times a game. That left wing three, he's got to be shooting like, I don't know, way above 40% from there. That's like his pet spot, and it doesn't even seem to matter how far away he is. It's the Festus Ezeli spot. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
And he's just so dominant from that spot. It's so dangerous. And
that turnaround fadeaway is just salt in the proverbial wound.
It really is, and you know, I don't know. He's an offensive like savant at this point, and I'm stunned and shocked. I mean, I remember thinking LeBron, you know, if he wanted to really extend his career, he was going to have to go the route of like Karl Malone and just use kind of his size and his passing ability and court vision to live down low and make things happen. But I mean, he's going the route of like Jordan and Kobe, where they just really perfected offense in general.
Yeah.
And they didn't have tendencies anymore that you could play to. And it still kind of feels like he spends a lot of these games conserving his energy. And yet, despite that,
he's scoring 30 points in 31 minutes after scoring 33 in 33 minutes on Friday.
And I think he's either first or second in the league.
Ridiculous now. You're not even laughing anymore.
I know, because I know I should be, but that's how good LeBron has been. This is serious. He's like first or second in PER to Harden.
Yeah.
You know, he's
the only
he's
flaw
MVP
in his game right now. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the only flaw in his game right now is a career high in turnovers, 4.2 a game. I did lie. He did shoot 78% in 2009 from the free throw line. So he does have about a percentage point or two to catch that coming up. So.
I thought he had like 81 year, but maybe not.
78 is his career high, but this is definitely the best I've ever seen him shoot the ball.
Yeah, me too. And I mean, it's pretty obvious to me that, you know, he doesn't have that first step quickness that he had, you know, in his prime. He doesn't have that insane one-legged, you know, like chin above the rim vertical. But it's like scoring has never been easier for him.
Yeah. Even Kyle Korver is impressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that a quote from the other night?
I believe it was. Yeah. Kyle Korver what was his line? He said, my man's a legit shooter now.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. Yeah.
I mean, his true shooting right now is 65.7%.
Yep.
That is, that's rarefied air.
Especially for a non like specialist,
yeah.
You know, That's one thing for like a Steve Kerr that only shoots when he's opened and you know, is catching off the pass. I mean, he creates almost everything that he gets, he created himself.
Now, here's an interesting stat. He is by far right now the highest of his career on assisted field goal percentage. So 40, let me see that. So 41% of his field goals are assisted right now.
Oh, that shocks me. I would not have guessed like
well,
even
half
that.
Is that what that mean? I don't, I'm not sure. What is assist percentage?
I don't think that's number of percentage.
No, I think
of,
you're right. Yeah, I think.
I think that's like has to do with
percentage of touch possessions that end in an assist or something.
I think it's okay. Something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what's at a career high. So.
Well, I believe that. I believe that. You know, and you know, some would argue that you know, with no Isaiah Thomas and with guys at point guard that aren't accustomed to catching and shooting, that number should be even higher, right? Because he spent a lot of the season passing to Derrick Rose, who doesn't take the shot. He kind of dribbles to set himself up. What LeBron's doing right now, he's the best player in the league. He was the best player in the league in the playoffs last year and in the finals last year. So all this Kevin Durant talk is just, you know, whatever. People are going to talk about that. It's ridiculous. LeBron's the best player in the league now. And in the regular season, which historically over the last couple of years, he doesn't even really respect enough to try that hard. He might still be like the best or top three, you know, regular season player right now. He's not slowing down. I don't know. He's offensively,
tonight he scored... Sorry, go ahead.
No, offensively, he's adding more and more every year. He's becoming more unstoppable. And I'm watching a guy right now that, honestly, like, this is the first time in his career, the last maybe like 18 months, where I feel like he does not need a clear line of sight to the basket in order to score at all. Like, and that is rare for any NBA player. You know, big men learn how to score over bodies and against sight lines because they're in the post and there's going to be someone there. Perimeter players learn to create space, whether it's I got past you or I crossed you over and did a step back to create space or whatever. And the guys that, you know, I look at that's and say, you know, they don't really care if they have space or not. You know, like Chris Paul, right? He doesn't really care that much if, you know, if you're kind of in his space a little bit, he can still score. Most guys aren't like that. And LeBron was never like that. And now he's like that. So he's going to be bigger than anyone guarding him, pretty much.
He's going to be stronger.
He's going to be stronger.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't really care if you're in front of him. He doesn't need to try to go around you. He'll just flip it right over at the top of your head.
He can finish with either hand now.
Yep.
On both sides of the basket. Yeah, he's ridiculous.
He knows how to score and take contact without the risk of drawing any kind of offensive foul either.
Breaking news, Derrick Rose has moved to Nate's hometown in Alaska to quote unquote find himself. I thought
you were going to say something about Derrick Rose the black hole since we were talking to Stephen Hawking.
Black holes do emit radiation. Nothing. Anytime a ball goes to Derrick Rose, it never comes out. Derrick Rose. This was the one we were talking about before the podcast. It was like, I hate to say I told you so, but I don't really hate to say I told you so because
I really thought, you know, Rose had something left.
I did too. I mean, preseason,
I thought Wade was the guy we were going to hate, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's like Wade has been a real pleasant surprise lately. He has anchored that second unit. His passing, I never knew, you know, he could pass this well. His defense has been, you know, like we've said, on his best day, you know, he's a good instinctive defender. He showed us a lot of that.
He had three blocks tonight. They only credit him with two, but he had three.
And there's just a moxie about him too. That I don't know if it's just a product of he's real healthy right now or what, but I don't know. I'm not gonna say he's got a spring in his step, but he just looks in control. Like when he has the ball, he seems to know when it's time to go to work on his guy or when it's time to kind of move around a little bit, move defenders, move offensive players, and get a better shot. And
yeah, and now that his cutting. Jumper has come around, he was taking way too many jump shots earlier in the streak, but now he walked into a three tonight, which I don't think I've seen him do. You don't see him do very often.
I've seen him do it because he always does it against the Cavs, but yeah,
yeah.
He goes like, wasn't there something like he went a whole season without hitting a three, and then in the playoffs against someone, maybe the Cavs, he hit like a bunch.
Yeah. He blocked the process. He blocked the process hard. Hopefully he'll do it again against the Heat tomorrow.
Oh, are we going to Waiters Island or is this in C-Town?
I'm not sure. Let me look. It is in C-Town. So this is the Stephen Hawking quote on Derrick Rose. Black holes are among the strangest things in the universe. They are massive objects, collections of mass with gravity so strong that nothing can escape, not even light, not even basketballs. So there you go. Words of wisdom from Evil Hawking.
Evil Hawking. That's it. That's the new nickname, Evil Hawking. Oh, that's perfect. I kind of want to hear. I want to hear like
Evil Hawking
do an Evil Hawking voice. He approves. He approves of his new roster.
So yeah, that should be a interesting game tomorrow. Miami with a big win over Boston the other day, breaking the Celtics. But I think Miami's big problem is they can get up for games, but they have a hard time with the day to day. You know, cause I think their standings, they're still, out of the, well, they're the eighth seed right now. So they they're on a three game streak. They did just climb into the eighth spot, surpassing the Knicks, behind, and Boston lost tonight as well.
Yeah, lost in Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and the East is pretty interesting this year. I mean, there's definitely some surprise teams early. Crazily, Indiana looks like it's winning the Paul George trade right now because Victor Oladipo looks like an all-star for them. And that, you know, and he was one of my favorite players, and I gave up on the dude. So
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
And maybe that's what needed to happen once the expect nations, see, for Nate, were off. He was able to shine. So didn't I tell you guys about OKC? They might not make the playoffs.
Well, they look pretty darn good against the Warriors the other day.
They did. And then Hawking also said Boston got beat in the Avery Bradley homecoming game.
Kyrie had six turnovers, including a play near the end of the game where he was stripped, and then Bradley led a break, and Drummond threw down kind of an insane one-handed dunk.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of weird, the Pistons game and the Sixers game. I feel like so far we've kind of seen the Cavs able to take teams out of what they do well, and they did that to
a little Belichickian.
The other thing about the Cavs, and this is good and bad, but the reason that Golden State won 73 games 2 years ago was not because their starters were so good. It was because their bench was so much better than everybody else's. and they could just sustain leads going into, you know, when the starters were on the bench and actually build leads. And that was great until they reached the Cavs in the finals. So the one thing I am a little concerned about is the holes on the starting lineup right now for the Cavs. I mean, the Cavs are doing this with arguably the worst starting point guard, or, you know, a bottom three starting point guard in the
NBA. Calderon was done years ago. I mean, I don't, that's for sure. And, I know. And I'm intrigued by what Isaiah Thomas will do for them, because you're going to get a much more dynamic offensive player at that. I mean, much more, maybe one of the most dynamic point guards, you know, in the league, replacing a guy that is pretty one dimensional right now and has been washed up, you know, for some time.
But a guy that's not going to turn the ball over, is not going to do anything up, is dumb, is playing some decent positional defense. He had some really nice defensive plays tonight. That one steal he had, and they were kind of highlighting him on the halftime stats. So, you know, he hasn't been terrible. The guy that's boggled my mind how bad he's been at times is Jay Crowder. I mean,
yeah, I know.
He just cannot finish anymore. Every time he goes in, he doesn't even want to try. It's like he's got no lift. I almost wonder if he's nursing an injury or something.
Yeah, he looks like a shell of his former self, least of what I saw in Boston.
I don't even know what this means. The greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It is the illusion of knowledge. I don't even get that.
That must be like a famous Hawking quote.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like the Hawking fortune cookie, but it's an actual quote. So, EG also said on the OKC Warrior games, Tom, that was one game. Don't be a prisoner of the moment.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, if we were judging things by one game, David Fizdale would be coach of the year, right? Didn't the Grizzlies start off super hot?
Yeah, they did. And now Fizdale is down the Fizz drain.
Oh, man.
The dad
you're hot
full
tonight.
Effect.
You are hot tonight.
Jay Crowder has become the new black hole.
Yeah. Nothing good escapes.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not really doing Stephen Hawking as much as the uncle from South Park that has the voice box. So forgive me if my impressions are overlapping a little bit. But yeah, I mean, what did you think of the Fizdale firing? I know you and I had a little bit of disagreement over it tonight, as I may have trolled you a little.
I don't know. I don't really know much about Fizdale. I mean, I remember that whole, analytics mini rant he went on that, you know, they started printing T-shirts in Memphis about it. I think it had to do with the officiating disparity or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Analyze the, or, what did it say?
Yeah, it was something like that.
EG's going to bring it up here. Yeah. He said, I've got to sound more like the OK computer, fitter, happier,
more productive.
Yeah. There you go. So,
wow. That's EG's second OK computer reference tonight. The previous one was the Hitler hairdo.
That is true. Very nice. Good.
Thank you.
Take that.
I was a douchey white guy in college, just like everyone else. I listened to Radiohead.
In college?
Yeah, man. Say it.
Take that for data.
Say the next one.
Good catch, Tom. That Hitler hairdo is making me feel ill.
That's from Karma Police, I think.
Yes, that's from Karma Police. From OK Computer.
Yeah, it's a great album.
It is a great album. I'll take Karma Police for $400, Alex. Oh my lord, we are it's getting weird tonight.
It is getting weird. That's okay because the season is weird. I mean,
it's an odd season.
Nate,
yes.
If you would have told me that we would have an 8-game winning streak and be 13-7 or whatever, I'd have said no. I don't think so. I mean, I just honestly, I thought we were going to be like 500 this year, and before Isaiah Thomas came back, it was going to be the ultimate just mess of a team, and it kind of looked that way for a bit, but man, they're just playing really well together. I don't know.
Well, it also helps that Shumpert and Rose got hurt.
I feel like
Ty Lue, fell ass backwards into his best lineups.
You could make that case.
Yeah. I don't know why they had so little shooting early. And they were playing a lot of guys who couldn't shoot. That
never made sense. Yeah. And now, there's never not two good shooters on the court.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Fry's been so important.
Yeah.
Even what, how he's going to hurt you offensively or defensively, spacing the floor is just, you got to have it when you got Wade and Jeff Green out there together, because neither of those guys are floor spacers. So you put Korver and Fry out there, and now Wade knows how to get to the right spots, and Green keeps cutting the way he is. It's great.
Yeah, well, it's not just the floor spacing either. He also sets really good screens. He knows how to play that two-man game with Korver. He rolls to the basket rather than popping just often enough to keep defenses honest. He's still a competent finisher, can still dunk every now and again. He's got a nice little hook shot off the window. Can still post up smaller guys. I mean, it's not something he's going to make a living off of, but he does enough of everything else that he keeps defense honest. They can't just camp out on him on the 3-point line. So, and he's a good passer too. He moves the ball. So,
yeah,
he's definitely a very competent NBA player, and he looks happy to be out there. So, the kind of the chemistry the second unit has been a really, I've heard more than one person say this is their favorite second unit since the Herculoids.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how I feel. I mean, if they're fun to watch, I rolled my eyes when Jeff Green said, he's got like a joy for the game again. But I mean, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe that's real because that's what we saw with the Herculoids, right? A bunch of old guys that are kind of washed up, some of them, and a couple, role players hoping to, play for another contract that just seem to enjoy playing with each other. And Luke Walton was a big part of that. Wayne Elling.
Three of the Herculoids ended up on the Warriors as part of that bench that helped them to get to 73 wins. So I don't think it's coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah. One was the baby bottle.
Yeah. If they beat Miami on the back to back, the next five games are relatively easy. Atlanta, Memphis, Chicago, Sacramento. I like them better than the Herculoids, if we're being honest. There you go. Yeah, we need
straight talk from Stephen Hawking.
Evil Hawking.
Evil Hawking.
So what we need to come up with a nickname for this bench.
We do.
We really do. I mean,
what was that? What's an anti-black hole?
Like the neutron star a supernova?
Well, I like neutron stars because they're like stars, right? You don't like the neutron stars?
No, I want something like about how old they are, like knee braces and liniment.
AARP.
Yeah, the Golden Buckeyes. Ooh, that's not bad.
It isn't bad.
A white hole, but that does not sound very PC.
It does not. It sounds more PC though when Evil Hawking says it, really. I don't think you or I could get away with saying
it,
Nate.
No. But at least Evil Hawking was able to pull it off. But
yeah, well, that's why we need Evil Hawking on these podcasts.
No, we gotta have a contest. So I do like Golden Buckeyes, but what was yours? The Neutron Stars.
Yeah. Well, that's the anti-black hole, right? Because they move the ball well and they move bodies well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. That's a stretch. we're gonna have to. So yeah, if you're listening in the comments section, tell us what you think the bench mob should be named. I feel like something to do with how old they are would be a nice touch. But
yeah, I forget how old Korver is sometimes. Yeah, he's 37,
and he's that guy. Is it unbelievable? Unbelievably productive for as old as he is, and man, is he a good shooter. He had that one tonight that kind of
I like that one.
Started
to
run in the third, and we could call them the Geezer Gang. He had that one that started the run in the third between two defenders that it didn't look like he had any business shooting it, and it just kind of rattled in. So the other thing is he has unlimited range. I mean, if he's open at 28 feet, he's pulling.
Well, what was it? Was it against, was it the last game or two games ago when there was a fast break and he was waiting?
That was last game against Charlotte. Yeah.
I think. Yeah. And he just was like, all right.
Nobody guarded him at like 30 feet. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll just shoot it. And he made it. Yeah.
Yeah. Net.
And you can tell he just drives defenders nuts. Like, you can't leave him for a second. And the other funny thing about it is you can tell a lot of these guys have, especially bench guys who are usually younger players, have never defended a guy that moves that well without the ball.
Yeah.
And he just loses them consistently. It's really fun to watch.
Yeah, it's like Ray Allen, you know?
Yeah. How about the one tonight where LeBron somehow got free with no one guarding him on the left baseline?
And then, yeah.
Yeah. So, or the other one tonight, how many times did Joel Embiid tackle people?
Dude, yes. Did he land on Wade?
Yes.
Well after the shot.
Yeah, but if you saw the replay, Wade kind of pulled him a little bit, but I think he was just trying to stay upright.
I didn't see the replay.
And then when the replay happened, the Philly crowd booed, but he just totally took out J.R. Smith when J.R. Smith did the old I'm gonna stop right in front of you as you're running and you're not paying attention just so I can draw a foul.
Yeah.
We can
Calderon did that the other day.
Oh, to Drummond, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
0 Celsius since they're all at least 32.
Oh my god. That's pretty good, yeah.
That's pretty fun. No, I don't think Jeff Green's that old, though. I think Jeff Green's 29.
He's, yeah, like 30, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that works. Jeff Green is 31. Okay, when he turns 32, we can call him 0 Celsius. And Jeff Green looks 100.
Like old LeBron.
Yeah, but he doesn't dunk like he's 100.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, He's arguably a better dunker than LeBron right now, or at least a more ferocious one.
It's more ferocious, yeah.
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 He dunks like a green machine. I do like the green machine. That's pretty good. Okay, so yeah, David Fizdale, we didn't talk about him too much, but I kind of felt like that was... Well, you heard my take that the owner didn't like him anyway. Because like his politics, and
that
you,
wasn't a
you
take.
Excoriated was, me for it.
That was you just trying to stir the pot on our.
I was
email.
Not trying to stir the pot. You're never. I can't even guarantee you're ever even reading them. So every now and again, I gotta throw some red meat to the base.
Yeah. the politics of. Minimum wage FedEx workers applying to who did you say it was applying to? Mark Gasol or Fizdale or
Fizdale, because they work for the guy that owns FedEx. So I had a green machine when I was a kid. Take that for data.
I think he's going to get a job somewhere.
I think he will too. A lot of people think he'll either.
A lot of players like him.
Yeah, he'll end up in. Well, I think this actually hurts Memphis a little bit with free agent. Because, you know, LeBron, what was the one I heard? LeBron is apparently not signing in Memphis because LeBron kind of subtweeted the whole situation. You know, my man got to be the fall guy. I think he said something along those lines.
Oh, that was really dumb because I'm pretty sure LeBron was planning to go to Memphis.
Yeah.
Now look what you done. FedEx.
Ship that.
LeBron's going to use UPS for the rest of his life now.
That's right. That's right, he is. So, yeah.
Or CASP, the USPS.
But if you go against a team's, you know, I think he pissed off Paul Gasol, and he kind of took the fall for the losing streak. So, the fact that they didn't have a backup point guard for Mike Conley, and they gave Chandler Parsons a terrible contract, and Paul Gasol is 32, doesn't help anybody, but I mean, the fact that Paul Gasol is zero Celsius.
Mark Gasol.
No.
Thankfully we have Evil Hawking here to
Mark Gasol, your name aphasia strikes again. Both LeBron and Wade chimed in because Fizz was a Heat assistant.
That's right. I forgot about that. You love Fizdale. You wanted the Cavs to hire him back when they got David Blatt.
The LeBron recruiting pitch. So,
okay.
So yeah, maybe they would have three championships now instead of just one. I'm kidding. I will never trade 2016. Butterfly effect.
Yeah.
You never know what would have happened differently, so...
Every time my butterfly effect story?
No. Tell me your butterfly effect story.
The movie, The Butterfly Effect, with Ashton Kutcher, came out in 2003?
Yeah, and it was basically a ripoff of Donnie Darko.
So I was... at the time it came out, I think I was like between girlfriends. So I was single for a little bit there. And this girl that I knew her, I already knew her sister pretty well. And she was a year younger than me. And I don't even remember much about it. We're really good friends now, but I don't remember much about what life was like, you know, when we had first met. But ultimately we went out on what was conceivably a date. And so I don't know if I asked her out or if we just, hey, you want to go to a movie or whatever, but it was just me and her. So it was a legitimate date and we went and saw The Butterfly Effect. That movie has got to be one of the worst like date. Well, it's just a bad movie, period. But as far as like a date movie goes, just horrific. I mean, there's a scene in that movie where like teenagers blow up a dog. Like it is so horrific. And It just destroyed everything. Like we were like, should we walk out?
I mean, did this not is like... make this movie, but it's funny that Tom had to classify this as a quote unquote legitimate date.
Well, I'm just, you know, figured I'd tackle that right away. You know someone on the comment section will question it. But so we watched that movie. It's horrible. I mean, it's just... I feel like nauseous. She feels nauseous. We're just like, what just happened? What did we just watch? Was that a real thing? And so like, it's probably, I don't know, it's probably like 7:30, 8 o'clock, and it's like a Friday night and I'm, you know, 19, she's 18. We're in college, right? This is when you stay up to like 3 a.m., even not on a weekend, cause that's what you do. So we took my car, we took it back to her dorm, and I'm just like, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know if we're going to go meet up with some of her friends or going to go back, meet up some of my friends or watch a better movie or, you know, get food. I don't know. And she just like, we were silent, like pretty much the whole way home. She opens up the door and she goes, well, thanks, buddy. And she just shuts the door. And that was it. That was the end of the date. And that was the end of anything possible romantic between me and her. And we became really good friends. And we ended up working together and remain really good friends to this day. But we love the joke about how the butterfly effect kind of cemented our platonic relationship forever.
Tom, do you still have nightmares about the giant bunny? Which I don't even get.
I don't either.
I think he's confusing Donnie Darko and the butterfly effect.
Okay.
Tom is suspiciously not including consummation as an option here.
Sex advice from Evil Hawking. That's my nightmare right there.
Wow. I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah. But that's my butterfly effect story. I've had better stories, but I can tell that one better too, but I'm trying to protect the identities of people.
Protect the innocent.
Yeah, protect the innocent.
I really had to search my vocabulary for consummation there.
What's the first word that came to mind, huh, Evil Hawking?
We're not going to repeat that one. So let's get back to the Cavs for a minute here. Before too long, we'll talk about Rocket League and what's going on with our lawns. But
Yes. Lest
we've been
David
told if we don't talk about our lawns,
podcast.
People are going to boycott our podcast. So, EG wanted us to say maybe Corby will hire Fizz as an assistant coach and then pull a Griff after this year's Martin Luther King massacre and replace Ty Lue with Fizz. Ha, ha, ha.
Ooh, I like it. If it happens, you get credit, Evil Hawking.
You do.
Just like Nate forever gets credit for calling the Cavs 3-1 comeback.
Yeah, I will say that probably does not happen because I don't think Ty Lue's that dumb that he would let him on his staff. Like, I noticed the three things. That's just because Nate is obstinate.
Yeah, true. It was a defiant prediction, if there ever was one.
Yeah, well,
but it doesn't change the fact that he predicted it.
It's true, and I stuck to my guns.
Yeah. That's the way predictions work, man. We only talk about the ones we got right.
Absolutely.
That's one you got right, my man.
It was a big one. So what were we talking about? Thing I've noticed about the Cavs' assistant coaches is none of them look like they're remotely in the position to take over for Ty Lue. I mean, I guess if Ty Lue got fired, it would be Larry Drew, since he's the only one with head coach experience. I know it would not be Longaberger.
Or James Posey. Or Damon Jones. But how sweet would Damon Jones' head coach be?
Especially
Damon Jones' press conferences? That alone is reason enough.
From the dunk contest that Charles Barkley loves.
Damon Jones' coat. Yeah. That's so my fantasy team is called Leg Kick Legendarium. Do you remember Damon Jones' leg kick?
Yes.
That he would whip out for no reason whatsoever. It was just part of his repertoire. It wasn't always for no reason. Sometimes he was unable to advance the ball without turning his back like 7 times to the defender. Yeah. And so the leg kick, I don't know if he was just trying to like throw people off
with
it.
You can't reach in when you have to reach over the leg. So
yes. That sounds like something that should have been said on my date night. But
my
favorite
part of Amon Owens' game was the butt first dribble. You get it, Amon Owens, no D, no J.
No J.
Ha, ha, ha.
You didn't invent that, EG. That's been around.
Yeah.
But David Jones had a J. Come on. The guy led the NBA in threes 1 year.
He did.
But
he did. And so his other comment, especially Longabardi, who looks like an Oompa Loompa. Yeah.
I want it now. Yeah. So what were we talking about?
We were talking about
my fantasy team. So my team name is Leg Kick Legendarium, and my avatar is the picture from that dunk contest. And who trivia question, Nate, was Damon Jones sitting next to, talking to, about that Andre Iguodala dunk when the camera panned over to him and Charles Barkley lost his mind?
Longamarty would require at least three additional phone books to sit on Ty Lue's chair.
Nate, are you not going to answer my
LeBron. That's going to be my guess. Who was it?
No. Ty Lue.
It was Ty Lue, wasn't it?
As a player,
it
yes.
all comes full circle.
Which, why was Ty Lue at the All-Star game as a player? I guess, why was Damon Jones at the All-Star game as a player?
Because they all hang out at the All-Star game. And Ty Lue, people love Ty Lue. You know who Kevin Garnett's best friend is?
Ty Lue.
Ty Lue.
I can believe that.
Kevin Garnett, and you know who else is a really good friend? So he was talking about he and Ty Lue and Chauncey Billups are all like three best friends. So, and that's part of the reason I think Chauncey Billups didn't take the job.
Oh, because it's his boy?
Yeah, it's his boy, and he didn't want to have to fire him if things went bad. But I also think he was just playing Dan Gilbert for more money from ESPN. Yeah.
Not the
Ty Lue
Jason,
was at
the
All
Jason Kidd approach to
yeah
loyalty. Yeah.
Ty Lue was at the All Star game to braid Allen Iverson's hair.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
I remember. I probably told this before in a pod. My Ty Lue story. I went to a preseason game at the Schottenstein Center in Columbus back in like 08 or something, and it was the Cavs against the Hawks. And that was when Ty Lue was on the Hawks. And for some reason, he had some like traveling fan that came to the game. And it was just this woman. And I mean, there's not that many people at a preseason game. So you can be kind of far from people. And if they're loud enough, you can actually hear what they say. And there's just this woman just kept screaming, Ty! Like every time he would do something good. And so, I mean, it's not that he was like filling up the stat sheet, but he scored a couple points, had a couple dimes. And every time he did, like clockwork, Ty! And I just looked at this woman and I'm like, man, she is trying to slide into his DMs like before that was a thing. But yeah, Ty Lue, man. I never, ever, ever in a million years would have guessed that guy would lead the Cavs to an NBA championship.
Talk about
seriously
a guy who's player persona was very different than his coach persona. Like he,
yeah, you know who else is
he
like?
He kind of seemed like the grown up version of Little Bow Wow when he, when he was playing. Yeah. Like he just,
well, because he looked like that,
right? And he had the same do and kind of a very similar game. Yeah. So what were you saying?
No, I was gonna say Steve Kerr is like that too. I feel like as a player, Steve Kerr was this little skinny tiny choir boy that was like meek and feeble, and as a coach he's like, I don't know, he just guys just look bigger as coaches, and he's this guy going through all these crazy like medical issues, raising all this pain, but he still wants to coach. He's like super outspoken, like talks like with this air of authority about everything, which is good. I'm just saying, like, as a player he's like the guy that you assume, you know, would never say
a
word.
Whole thing about how he got in a fist fight or almost got in a fist fight with Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan respected him after that because he stood up for himself.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that part. But yeah, I heard the part about him getting punched.
No, Jordan punched him in the face.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Man, Nate, you just fake news, man, making up your own stories.
I always heard that Jordan respected him after that, though.
I think you made that up. That was like, that was like the ending you wanted. See, that's your thing, Nate. You love to like take some snippet of information and then like add your conclusion to it or tie your bow on top of it.
He probably got punched because he was annoying.
Yeah, he probably did. He is annoying. He's super annoying.
Yeah.
He's a Golden State Warrior and they're all super annoying.
Yes, they are.
You know what's really annoying, in my opinion? All the media types that wrote the Cavs off like a week into the season.
No, the best part was when the
Celtics as like the second coming of the 80s Celtics after like five games.
You know what is really annoying? Brad Stevens.
You mean this guy?
There you go. And Bill Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, the best part about all the writing the Cavs off articles was you could tell all the articles were written over the weekend to publish early in the week, but over the weekend they notched a 3-game win streak, so the articles were already becoming irrelevant. and yet they published them anyway, and the Cavs just kept on winning games. So,
hey man, gotta make that coin. It's a tough business.
Over the weekend is when Boston sports writers do their best drinking.
Yeah.
Evil Hawking on a roll.
Dude, I know.
This needs to be a regular feature.
I think we need to invest in an actual text-to-speech machine and just have him pipe through.
He called us. I don't know if he called us this or people in Boston this. Mass holes.
Yep.
I think it's maybe.
I've not heard that, but that's good.
Yeah, I've heard it before. Yeah. People in Boston, of course. You guys are just jerks. Okay, I made the last part up. See, you're right. I do go for the ending I want.
You do. You do. You do. It's okay. You try to, like, write your own reality. It's all right. It's all right.
Hey,
you're a dream.
It's the world we're living in now.
Create your own adventure.
Yeah, there you go. So we're gonna get back to talking some actual basketball.
What? How about lawn talk?
Lawn talk? Well, okay. Yeah, so
no, let's talk about basketball. Let's talk about how the Cavs blew out the Pistons, I believe, what, like a week ago?
Mm-hmm.
And tonight the Pistons beats in Boston. Power ranking update.
Yeah, the Cavs got to be climbing it. I'd put them in the top four right now.
I would. They're, I mean, right now, definitely.
Top five.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, what's your biggest concern? Because I'll be honest, my biggest concern is like Jeff Green turns back into a pumpkin. So I'm just like, what is going on with Jeff Green? I mean, he just looks solid, and he looks like a legitimate piece to be a body against the length of Golden State, and he's playing off ball. He's finishing. He finishes in transition.
He's playing defense. And
I don't see him doing a lot of stupid stuff, and that's like his MO, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Cavs is this like, in the top five as of their win tonight on NBA TV.
Jeff Green
is here to stay because D Wade makes Jeff Green better.
I mean, I'm partially a little worried though, because I remember Mozgov, when he first came over to the Cavs, he was pretty solid for like 3 or 4 months, and then that was the high water mark, right? It never got better. It never got better than that.
Yeah.
So I hope that's not the case.
Yeah. So my biggest fear. And of course, EG says the real issue is how to fix Jay Crowder, which should happen when IT comes back.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But I think
he is broken right now.
He is. But to me, the bigger issue is they're playing so well. I almost feel like when IT comes back, it's going to screw it up. Like
it might for a little while. That's why he needs to come back, not in like March.
Yeah,
because they might need some time to figure it out.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying he'll be back before the Golden State game. So
yeah, I heard you guys had your little wager in the last pod. Yeah. It was December 15th. That was the line.
Yeah. Well, for some reason, I thought the Cavs were playing the Celtics on the 15th, but they're not. But the bet still stands if between the 15th and the Christmas Day game. Another Nate embellishment.
Another Nate reality.
Yeah. Jay Crowder looked like he lost a greased pig contest tonight because he had butter fingers. That's my concern is that I feel like the Cavs are going to have a hard time playing better or a lot better. Especially offensively, but I feel like a little bit that the chemistry they have now is going to kind of diminish a little when Isaiah returns because the ball's going to be out of LeBron's hands a little more often.
That said, I mean, I do like that he's become like the towel waver of the team. I just think that's good, you know, for morale and just I think he's going to want to be a part of the good things that are already going on. I don't think he's necessarily just the way I see him now. I don't see him wanting necessarily like, I got to get here and prove myself. I think he's going to look at what the Cavs do well now and be like, this is my team. I want to be a part of this. That's the vibe I get from watching him on the sidelines, chest bumping, seemingly getting the most. He seems to have the most joy right now on the sidelines. So I'm really happy about that. He doesn't look like a guy that's down about his injury. He looks like a guy that's excited about the good things that they're doing and looking forward to be a part of it. And, you know, he's a good passer. So, you know, maybe on a team where he doesn't have to score 30 in order for the team to score 80, you know, we'll see more of a decision maker and less of a, I got to go 100 miles an hour all the time to try to create because otherwise my team can't score. And that could be interesting.
Isaiah Thomas has more technical fouls than Coach Lou this season.
Evil hockey. Actually, he's got all the stats. He's
it's true, stats actually. Guy. Yeah, I think he has two techs. One or two. Stacking. Yeah. I think he could probably come back home against the Bulls so he can get one game under his belt before the Warriors game. So the Bulls game is on the 21st. So that I could see that. That'd be a good game to get him. So I guess they're playing the Lakers on TNT on the 14th. That seems a little too early, and I don't know if that's a great matchup for him against the Lakers and, you know, Ball and yeah. or as I called him today, Ricky Rubio 2.0.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. Can't shoot, does everything else pretty well.
Yeah.
Can't shoot really at all.
Isaiah would torch Lonzo Ball and his dad.
Yeah. What a joke, Lonzo's dad.
I don't know. I love the Trump trolling. That's my.
You loved it.
Oh, I do. I do. I mean, anytime you control a guy with his finger on the nuclear button, you got to do it. So.
Yeah, I would have loved it if it wasn't the most predictable exchange.
Oh, yeah, 2017. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Like, come on, surprise me a little bit, guys.
Neither of those guys are going to surprise you.
No. Everyone saw that coming, you know, a continent away. Like, oh, here we go.
Yeah,
and Donald Trump and Lonzo Ball involved in the same transaction. This
won't end well.
The point is, things are going to be tweeted and said. Yeah. That's all you know.
Yeah, they needed to get Joel Embiid to get in the middle of their Twitter war.
Dude, Joel Embiid has been pretty savage on Twitter. I'll give him credit for this. A lot of people talk the talk when they're putting up 30 and 16. Joel Embiid was missing his entire first year in a boot on a 7-win team, and he was tweeting savagery. So, you know what? You know, he was there
and
before.
And then he came back cool. And backed it up. So
he was there before it was cool. So I'll give him
that. You
want to
know what's insane? He has not even played 48 games in the NBA.
That is insane. Yeah.
So I do have to ask you if you read my article today.
No. I was so busy today. I teach today. So I
understand.
Just...
I understand you were negotiating with kids over their grades.
I was actually for like a half hour. And I was like, I mean, you know me. I like to argue, right? So I'm like,
you like to take arguments to their logical extensions and
I throw
it back in people's faces.
The student was all like, I don't understand why I got, you know, like a 7 out of 10. I'm like, well, because you didn't format this at all correctly. And then he said he was confused about how to format it. So I said, okay. And I said, well, the vast majority of the class formatted it correctly. So, is it, you know, I mean, if that wasn't the case and everyone kind of did their own thing or did it wrong, I would say that's probably on me. But since everyone other than you and maybe one or two other students, you know, did it correctly, isn't that on you? And I feel like that's a pretty locked tight argument, right? There's not a lot of wiggle room there. But he just kept going, you know? And then it's like, well, and I was like, do you remember the class where I literally wrote on the board, like, hey, right now, make an outline for yourself like this for this paper, because I don't want you to get the format wrong. He's like, yeah, but I was confused. I was like, okay. All right. And then he was like, because I read the thing you posted online. And so I'm like, okay, well, let's look at that. And I brought it up, and sure enough, it's the same format. And I'm like, what, you know, it's just like the more he talked about it, the more convinced I was. In fact, by the end, I felt like, man, you're lucky I gave you a 7 out of 10. Like, this paper sucks. You know, he's
my
got all kinds of typos.
Enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It is the illusion of knowledge.
That's what I should have told him. Should have been like, you know what? Enough of this. Like, let's have some real talk.
And then you should have said, people who boast about their IQ are losers.
Yeah. Who rarely consummate.
Now we just sound like Daleks. Exterminate. Exterminate. This is getting pretty.
Do you mean the things from
Doctor Who?
Doctor Who?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know Doctor Who that well. I just watched one this weekend because my daughters wanted to watch one, and we didn't even finish it. So,
Doctor Who is like, there's like two kinds of Doctor Who fans: the people that are actually fans, and the Johnny Come Lately hipster Doctor Who fans.
So,
who are like fourth on my most insufferable list? FYI,
I think we should save the top three for another episode.
Probably should, dude. We haven't even talked about how amazing this team is right now and how they're going to 4-0 sweep the Celtics in like the conference finals. And it's going to be the sweetest thing ever. And Evil Hawking is just going to spam the blog with the Brad Stevens, this guy meme. And it's going to be like, I told my buddy at work, who in the midst of the Celtics, you know, 13-game winning streak, how about them Celtics? And I just looked at him, and I just dismissed it in its entirety. I was like, you know what? Go win 66 games and enjoy getting swept by the Cavs in the playoffs. Because that's what you're gunning for. That is what you're gunning for.
Impeach President Stevens.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. Yeah.
Well, the funny thing about the whole thing is it's like my tweet, congratulations on, you know, winning the league and giving a crap in November.
Yes,
you know, yep. when half the league was still playing itself into shape,
yep.
which is really true. And you're kind of seeing now who the contenders, who is legit and who is not legit. Some surprises, Milwaukee still just 9-9, the Bledsoe trade not helping them, and my guess as to why is that Delly is on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, New York playing well, but now, you know, they've lost three straight. The Clippers lost an insane amount of games straight, eight straight games, and then
yeah.
Memphis on an 8-game losing streak. I mean, it's really interesting. I can't.
Yeah, the league is.
I can't wait until Kyrie decides to bolt in free agency next summer after he realizes he can't beat LeBron with the Celtics.
That would be the ultimate irony.
Oh, I could totally see
him. I would just love Danny Ainge to get burned like that.
Oh yeah, the Clippers seem like a natural destination for him. Like,
yeah, he's so Hollywood.
Yeah, and he and Blake are just the same kind of player. A lot of glitz and put up a lot of
highlights.
Yeah,
a lot
don't
of
win
highlights.
Anything. Although I could see him ending up on the Lakers.
Well, Kyrie did win something, but...
Well, that's true.
As you may recall.
Yeah. So the question for me, G, is what do you think the Cavs need? I feel like they need another center and a point guard, and that's a lot of what a combo guard that can play either position and give some kind of a 3-and-D combo guard.
I'm intrigued by DeAndre Jordan. I mean, I saw that chatter.
Yeah.
That would be kind of
the guy I would love 10 times better than him is Dwayne Dedman.
Dwayne Dedman. Who does he even play for?
He plays for Atlanta, and he's averaging 46% on threes right now. And he's a shot blocker. Like, yeah. And the other problem with DeAndre, as Evil Hawking says, DeAndre is an expensive rental.
Yeah. Yeah, like $20 million a year.
Yeah, but more than that, I think it's 24. Is it? 22 or 24, yeah. Yeah, and he's got an opt-out at the end of the year. So, yeah, my other idea was Nerlens Noel. You know, because Denver's basically not going to get very much for him because there's no way he's re-signing. And they'd be throwing... I don't know if he'd move him here because for the same reason that Phoenix didn't want to move Bledsoe here is because he doesn't want to help out Rich Paul, because I think they're as irritated as Rich Paul as everyone else. So
yeah.
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 I'm at Dallas, not Denver. So, and the problem with DeAndre is they either have to give up their pick or the Nets pick. Don't give up anything for the Nets pick unless you're getting a long-term all-star. So,
well, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to make a long-term move this year. I mean, you genuinely have to approach this. Like, if you don't go all in, that could be it, you know, for the LeBron era in Cleveland. I mean, I don't think it's going to end, but it could. Yeah. And I don't know if you get too conservative.
I don't know either.
I wouldn't be mad at them for doing a swing for the fences, go for it this year deal. I think that's what LeBron expects at this point in his career.
Mark Cuban would take Gilbert and Corby to the woodshed for Nerlens Noel.
We've spilled so much ink on Nerlens at Cavs the Blog. I feel like it's only right that at some point we would have him in a Cavs uniform.
That's true. Yeah. Where is LeBron going to go, Tom? That's also a good question. I could see him going to New York.
I could see him going to, like, Houston.
I could see him going to New York. I don't think he's going to go out west. I don't think he'd go to Houston.
No?
No.
No way he... No, you can say it.
No way he goes to Houston. No way he plays with Harden.
CP3's out there.
Yeah, I don't think CP3
will
be there next.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm with you, EG. I'm not a LeBron's leaving guy. I'm saying you can't behave like he's going to be here another 4 years. I mean, you can't be worried about that Nets draft pick.
Yeah.
You know, if you get to that point and you've still got that pick, make the best pick. But
make the best.
I think it's...
Oh, yeah. You think it's going to be gone before that happens?
I do. I really do.
I don't know.
Because I still think they're a rotation player away from being able to kind of go toe-to-toe with
Golden State or Houston.
Yeah. Well, I think I can take Houston, but Golden State, yeah.
Yeah, I think Houston could come out of the West still.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I still think Golden State's on a different level.
Evil Hawking says there is no player good enough to give up the pick.
Well, we won't know that until...
Yeah, we won't know that till February. But my thought today was on guys that the Cavs could sign when they become available at the December 15th deadline to trade players that were signed over the summer. And I had George Hill in there, and I had Nerlens.
Ooh, that's very intriguing. George Hill.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that George Hill, in my opinion, is a very limited point guard that could be a very good fit on the Cavs.
Right.
Because he's a good spot-up shooter. He's a good defender. And the Cavs have never needed a point guard to create too much offense.
Right.
Honestly, Kyrie's offense, yeah, it was great at times. And, I mean, yeah, the my turn, your turn stuff worked at times, but... What the Cavs are doing right now is they're establishing an identity. They're establishing lineup identity. And George Hill, I think, could fit really well into what they're trying to do. You know, very much the way Mario Chalmers was a good point guard for the Heatles.
The problem with Hill is he makes $22 million.
Which that's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, there's so many. I was looking back at some of the contracts signed over the last 3 years. Miles Plumlee makes $16 million a year for like the next 3 years. It's insane. Or the Luol Deng, who
is Miles even the best Plumlee?
Is it Miles or I can't remember.
Or Mason.
God, which one's the one that looks like he's part of the Reichstag?
Oh man.
Yeah, Miles Plumlee is the one that's overpaid. Mason Plumlee's the good one that plays for Denver. And you know, Denver a different
What's Denver up to? I've not seen a Denver game yet this
they're
year.
11-8. They're super deep. Their best player is Nikolai, king of RPM, Jokic.
Yep, he's on my fantasy team.
Yeah, and they're just super deep. I mean, they just lost Millsap for several months, and they'll probably not miss a beat because they've got Fareed coming off the bench. So,
Fareed. Fareed and Tristan Thompson are like, in a weird, odd way, very similar. Like, they show flashes of brilliance, and then they show flashes of, like, does this guy do anything?
Right.
Yeah.
Except for the hair.
Yeah.
This Fareed's another one of
those. Seriously, like, I've forgotten hair. That, until now, I've forgotten that, like, Thompson is on the team.
Yeah. And they have not missed him.
No.
Yeah, and I don't. I feel like that contract is a bit of an albatross.
Like, how many more years is it? Because I would say it is, except for the fact that
two more years after this one.
I mean, except for the fact that there's so many of these. I mean, it's like he's not worse than like Mozgov or any of these other guys that have these insane contracts.
Yeah, there were some horrible contracts that were given out the last couple of years. I kind of feel like the Cavs didn't really have a choice because they didn't have anybody else they could stick in that hole
or yeah.
stick in that spot. But yeah, TT could still come back and be his old Canadian Dynamite self.
He could.
Yeah.
Probably has to shed some Kardashian baggage first.
I would love the Manimal here. If for no other reason than for the memes.
As meme manager of Cavs the Blog, he is the authority on player and coach memes.
You could have just said consummate instead of stick in that hole. well, this podcast is starting to get a little long in the tooth. So,
no, known for his astrophysics, less known the way he moonlights as a dirty comic.
Long in the tooth.
Well, before we finish it, we gotta throw David a bone, man.
Have a little lawn talk. So, and I got a question for you. Do you weed and feed your lawn?
You know, I buy a lot of stuff for my lawn, and then I either don't get around to using it, or I use it improperly.
Okay, so
like I've got so much grass seed, and it's just sitting in my garage because I don't, you know, it's like I really should get an aerator and do this the right way, or just pay some money and have someone else do it.
Right.
But
because you and I have such a surplus of spare time.
Yeah. Well, did I tell you I hired a kid to cut my grass?
Yeah, how's that going?
Okay.
You should get those aeration shoes with the spikes on the bottom.
No, those don't work. I've read all about those. They don't make the proper holes in the ground. They don't consummate the dirt well enough. Yes, I finally got an AIDS.
You did. You got me.
You've been ruining me all night. It was my turn.
They knew if you turn. Make the kid, you pay to mow your lawn. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
So yeah, my dilemma is I've always, I got real into, organic lawn care a couple of years ago. And then, you know, I did the thing just like you're talking about. I bought some of the stuff to do it and then didn't do the whole lawn and just kind of, so then I had this bag of organic fertilizer in my shed that I never did anything with. And then I ended up just, I think I gave it away to somebody. So yeah. Now, like, every year my lawn gets a little more scraggly. So I feel like I need to weed and feed. And I've always been told the best time to weed and feed is November.
Yeah, me too.
So I need to, and it's supposed to be 60 tomorrow. So I'm like, oh, I should get out there.
Oh, I should take the day off and put up my Christmas lights tomorrow.
Yeah, we're not doing Christmas lights this year. My wife's just too busy.
You Scrooge.
No, it's not. It's not me. It's my wife.
No, okay.
Yeah, I go where the boss tells me.
Yeah. No, I subscribe to that.
Yeah. So
that club as well.
But she doesn't want to do it this year. So, and plus with all the we're still redoing all the floors in our house and all this other stuff. So
yeah,
I totally get where she's coming from. So
yeah.
Just light the fertilizer bag like a Yuletide log. Hey, kid, go out and consummate the yard.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. So, I guess we are in agreement. If anybody knows any place to get some good organic lawn fertilizer, and I'm not talking cow shit. In Stark County, let me know. Used to be a place up, north of, like in North Ridgeville area that I used to go get it, but,
that's a hike for you.
It was from my old job, which it was about a half hour from there, but then in about an hour home, but yeah. But now I live even further. So I gotta figure out where to get, cause I don't do the chemical fertilizer. That's not my bag.
You're way too progressive for that.
I'm way too progressive for that. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Good for you.
In fact, one year, it's spring. Of course, I always get all these dandelions, and I had the True Green Chemlon guy came to my door, and it was almost like he was mad at me. And he was like, I'm going to give you this discount just to help your neighbors out. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, go away. I mean, I didn't say that, but I was like, oh, yeah, sure, give me your brochure. And I was like, and then I flipped him off after I closed the door. I have artificial grass. That's the only way to go. No water. I'm anti all the big chemicals. So
this guy I used to work with told me this, and I have not confirmed it. If true, game changer. He said the secret to aerating is not to use a core aerator or any tools. It's to wait, watch the weather, and when there's an imminent snowstorm, like at least an inch, you put down the grass seed right then. Okay. And then what happens is it snows, and so then the snow's on top of the seed, so the birds don't just eat it right off of the snow. And then as it kind of thaws and melts or compacts or whatever, it kind of kneads it into the ground.
And gives it water to germinate. So.
Right. And I thought, wait, that sounds too easy. Like, how come I've Googled this and no one's ever said that before? That sounds like the put a banana peel on a wart and it's gone in 2 days. Like, it's way too good to be true.
I lost 8 inches of belly fat with one easy trick.
Yeah. With this one easy trick. Yeah. Dermatologists hate him.
Yeah.
For that one easy trick. So, Nate, you want to know what the best part about tonight is?
What is that?
That the Celtics wasted a Marcus Smart game.
Oh, Marcus Smart finally had a good offensive game.
6 of 9 from three, 23 points, leading scorer in 31 minutes, had 6 dimes to go with it, and they lost by double digits to the Pistons. The Pistons are quietly 13-6
yeah,
after an extremely disappointing year last year.
Yeah, and
so that's something.
And Andre Drummond playing well.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, no, they were much worse than they should have been last year, and maybe this year they're punching above their weight. Andre Drummond had a 25-22 game. So yeah, Drummond is a force. A lot of people are like, well, the Cavs didn't need a center like that last year, but I feel like the Cavs may need a center this year for the playoffs. Like if they have to, and even if it's not that they can't beat a team like Mozzie is available. If they can't beat a team like the Pistons, the Pistons can certainly extend the series against them, which at their age is not necessarily a good thing. So
yeah,
but we are 90 minutes in, and it is about time to retire this podcast. Do you have any parting shots? Anything you want to pitch?
Anything I want to pitch?
What's your favorite lawn care product?
Oh, my favorite lawn care product. You know, a good investment when you become a homeowner is to buy an all steel shovel. Like the entire thing is just one piece of steel. So there's no handle, because I just abuse shovels. I just like, I got to get this out. So I'm going to use my shovel, and then I break them, whether they're wood or fiberglass or whatever. So spend 20, 30 bucks, get a nice all steel shovel. You won't regret it. My favorite other lawn care equipment.
It was so delightfully random.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I have that is good.
Tom does not understand that backhoes exist.
Yes, I dug up a well twice by hand. It took me like a whole day. And yeah, I should have just rented a backhoe. Just rent the backhoe.
That's your pitch.
That's good
today.
Advice.
Okay.
That's good advice.
Evil Hawking, what do you have to pitch? Or pay that kid who mows your lawn.
You got to be careful, though, because like, I had my brother-in-law try to pull out a stump for me one time with his like monster truck car. And honestly, like no joke, he could have killed like a whole family. And it's no joke. Like he was gunning it. If the chain would have broken, he would have killed like five people, because this family across the street was like, they had come home. They had kind of parked far away because they saw what we were doing, and they were walking like up towards their house, and my brother-in-law gunned it. And his tires started bouncing back and forth as his car straightened out with the alignment of the chain and the road. And yeah, it was like one of the scariest moments ever. And by the way, you really can't pull trees out. You just can't. That's not a thing.
I'm glad no one was hurt.
Which is why tornadoes that do that are so impressive, because you can take some insane truck, attach a chain to a tree stump, and just say, punch it, and it's not moving. So, professionals. I recommend professionals anytime you're going to do anything like that.
Okay. So, Evil Hawking's pitch is, I recommend the book A Brief History of Time.
Is that a Stephen Hawking book?
And also Derek Rose and the Quantum Physics of Black Holes. I don't even know if
What do you think? We didn't even really talk about Rose. You think he's done? You think he's suited up for the last time?
I don't know. I think he's going to whine until one of two things has happened. He's going to come back and just kind of try and play out the string and force the Cavs to trade him and kind of slog through the season, because he doesn't want to lose that Adidas money.
Right, that's $75 million or something like that,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's moving to Alaska. or, what I think he's going to try and play out the string long enough that he can negotiate a buyout with Adidas, because Adidas doesn't want to keep paying him $10 million a year, but if he just kind of makes an effort, they have to. So I think he's going to try and get in a buyout with Adidas and then go the way of the dodo.
Yeah.
But he did this last year. He walked away from the Knicks. Like, he just didn't show up for a game, and nobody knew where he was, and he was still in Chicago. So he's going to team up with Mo Williams and Chauncey Billups for Ice Cube's 3-on-3 league. So there you go. And it was Adidas, not Nike. I don't know if I said Nike, but or Reebok. I'm not sure what I said. But, yeah, that's what I think will happen. I don't. The fact that the Cavs don't seem to miss him very much can't be, it does seem like it's a little bit of a hint. So,
yeah. So college football, Nate, what do you think?
I don't know.
You don't follow?
No, I don't follow. I mean,
all right. Evil Hawking, man. What do you think? Pretty wild right now. There's basically like 8 teams that it's really hard to distinguish who's the best.
It all depends on who wins this weekend.
Yeah. So what, Evil Hawking, what happens if Ohio State beats Wisconsin? Does no Big Ten team get in, even though this is might be the strongest year in recent memory for the Big Ten? Let's go, Nate. Teleprompter.
I feel like I don't have a complete thought from Hawking yet.
Oh, you're waiting on the second half.
Yeah.
Evil Hawking, your technology is slowing you down. It can't keep up with your brain.
If Clemson, Oklahoma, I don't know what the rest of that is, they get left out if it's between them and Alabama, which I would agree. I do have a slight idea of what's going on in college football, but I don't know what happened last weekend. I just know the Bucks beat Michigan. So,
well, in your reality, football's already been banished in America.
My reality.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, you know all about my reality. I mean, after the Cavs game of the first game of the season with Boston and Gordon Hayward broke his leg, I was like, oh, the
Boston's going to miss the playoffs.
Boston's going to miss the playoffs. The Nets pick might be better than the Boston pick, or worse than the Boston pick. So,
yeah.
That tells you.
You see, Wendy wrote an article today about titled Breakup with Kyrie Has Unlocked the Best of LeBron James.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You can't argue with it. I don't know if the breakup with Kyrie had anything to do with it. Other than, I think playing with Kyle Korver might have more to do with it, and just, you know, having fixed his jump shot probably has more to do with it than anything.
So he talks about LeBron as the best PER in the league. He talks about it's above 30, and the other 4 times it was above 30, he won the MVP. This is a pretty scintillating chart. So here's LeBron's shooting percentages from mid-range, 16 to 24 feet and 24-plus feet last year. 36.2, 30, 36.5. This year, 42.9, 42.5, 42.2.
Yeah.
That is a stunning improvement.
Yeah. Especially when 3 years ago, he was shooting 30% from three.
Yeah. Yeah.
I predicted that LeBron would win the MVP in July. I believe that prediction will come true.
Ooh. Oh, it could. I mean,
yeah, I
the
think
Cavs, if the Cavs win, if the Cavs get the number one seed in the East, I bet you that does come true. But yeah. I don't know. It'd be tough if they don't.
I get really annoyed at the Kyrie Irving MVP talk when the guy, like, for a while, the guy wasn't even shooting 30% from three, or was shooting just around 30% from three. It's like,
yeah, he had a stinker tonight. 1 of 6 from three, 9 or 6 turnovers.
Good.
Yeah, he did have 9 times, but
yeah.
But yeah, I'm just glad they wasted a Marcus Smart game, because, you know, he's going to do that every once in a blue moon. Yeah. go off and they wasted it because on the other end, Tobias Harris had a Tobias Harris game. He went 5 of 6 from downtown.
Tobias Harris having a good season. I mean, he didn't play well against the Cavs.
No, he did not. He looked terrible against the Cavs.
But but against the Cavs, his jumper did look nice. But it kind of left him in the second half. So, and the other thing, as Evil Hawking says, the Pistons were on a back-to-back against the Cavs.
Yeah, but it wasn't like it was ever close. I mean, they got completely annihilated.
I can't believe I've been doing the stupid voice for 100 minutes.
I am impressed. And you haven't... I mean, we'll have to go back and listen.
I haven't broken character once. I don't
know. No, you haven't. You haven't. You really got it down.
So I've missed a lot of what Evil Hawking said about the college football situation, I'm gonna skip that for now because I feel like we need to.
Well, wrap there's no way Evil Hawking could be an expert at all of these things, right? I mean, we already know he's a great astrophysicist.
He's mad, so now I have to say. Okay, I have to say what he was going to say. If Clemson beats Miami, Oklahoma beats TCU, and Auburn beats Georgia, even if OSU beats Wisconsin, they probably lose out to Alabama. I don't know. I don't think people would pay to hear Stephen Hawking pick college football games. That's just me. It seems a little dry.
Pair Stephen Hawking with Tony Romo, college football.
Wisconsin is in if they beat OSU, since they'll be defeated.
They'll be the only undefeated Power Five, And I think, honestly, I think if OSU, like, trounces Wisconsin, they would get in. I'm worried that they, like, barely beat them. Like, they win by 3. I worry that it'll be, Big Ten will be left out.
Yeah. Well, I don't worry about that much. I mean, they had... Every team in the Big Ten had their destiny in their hands, I guess a little bit, not Wisconsin, because they didn't really have a very strong schedule. And as EG said, that Iowa loss is brutal.
It really is.
Yeah. So
I've come up with a new strategy for funding our blog expenses.
What's that?
You know, we can set up one of those like cryptocurrency things where people can just send us crypto coin, and we can use it to pay for hosting and everything else. So I figured, like, we don't need that much, so we could just do you could donate like 1 bitcoin, for example.
Much 1 bitcoin is worth now?
Shh, Nate. Quiet. So, if you got a Bitcoin laying around, you could just send it to Cavs the blog, and we can keep our little beach community going for infinity.
So if you had invested $1,000 in Bitcoins in, like, 2010, you would be over a millionaire now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Where was your defiant crypto, predictions back then, Nate?
You guys might have to trade all your fertilizer in the garage for Bitcoin. Okay. We've got to wrap this up. I'm starting to lose my voice.
We're punchy, but I think it's great because I think the Cavs are in a good place right now. I love that they're establishing, their second unit has established an identity. They're fun to watch. I've never seen LeBron. I mean, I've seen LeBron play at a higher level, just in terms of being more overwhelming because of kind of the athleticism. But right now he's just unstoppable in a calmer, slightly quieter way. He's like in all the movies, like the real ninja masters are old men, which you realize, like, there's no way, like, the best MMA fighter in the world would be 75 years old. But in all the, like, Japanese animes, like, the strongest fighters, like, got a beard and, like, a long beard and stuff. But that's like LeBron. He's like the old man on the court, and he's still the best player. He's just perfected his craft to an insane level.
I don't know. And that exists in some, remember George Foreman and Gordie Howe and, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. LeBron has that kind of thing. Like, he could be doing this till he's 45 if he wanted to.
I think he's gonna shoot for it. I think he's gunning for Kareem's record, and I think he's gonna get it unless something crazy happens.
Yeah. I now look forward to the second unit coming in instead of dreading it like in the past few years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And EG also said Tom Brady is LeBron's favorite player.
But oh, good. Yeah, get on whatever crazy ass diet Tom Brady's on.
But Evil Hawking said, and I agree with him, the second unit's allowing LeBron to get the proper rest. But I think it's more than that. It's more that he doesn't have to win every game on his own.
Right.
But he still can, which we saw against Charlotte. So
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to do it every night. So, yeah. And
I think they're in a great place right now.
I do
they're
too.
Racking up some wins. You know they're going to hit some road bumps, so it's good to get these strike while the iron's hot.
When you get 55 points from your bench, you're probably going to win.
Yeah.
Okay, EG, what do you got to pitch? Anything? A brief history of time.
Yeah, there will be holiday.
He did pitch that. I don't know if I have anything to pitch. I'm just going to say go Cavs and. Send me some throat lozenges as I'm a little hoarse. So,
yep, send me some Bitcoin.
And as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs. You got to do, I need Evil Hawking to go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers.